We are preaching into a hard theme, a Christian response to a season of strife. And here is how we are describing it. War, grief, death, anxiety. Open the paper or tune into the news and you will see more fear and foreboding than merry and bright. So I conducted some research into this, asking various people, what is it that you most fear? It is an invasive question, a hard one to ask and a painful question to answer. Here is what I heard. That you who are parents, above all else, fear the death of your children. The childless and pet blessed fear the death of your beloved furry friend. You fear your own death and dying, the loss of mobility, the loss of faculties, becoming irrelevant, old, unnecessary. Loneliness, a violent intruder, a devastating diagnosis, the possibility that your spouse or partner will find another person more appealing than they now find you. Car crash, plane crash, house fire, failing an important test or exam, being found out, running out of money. When I ask persons of color the same question, what do you most fear? They named all of the above and then added more. Racial profiling, unequal treatment in the courts by police, by employers or teachers, microaggressions. When I ask some unhoused persons the same question, what do you most fear? They named all of the above and then added more. Frostbite, theft, being beaten up, ridicule, not being able to find a safe place to fall asleep. And people in the other parts of the world or other parts of this country or other parts of this city might add even more. Imprisonment or detainment without benefit of law or lawyers. Gun violence, food insecurity, lack of health care, warfare, infant mortality, epidemic, natural disaster, terrorism, statelessness, being a refugee. And you, what is it that you most fear? There's a lot to be afraid of and a lot to be afraid for. And biblically speaking, the first words angels blurt out every time they meet one of us is, don't be afraid. And maybe it's because mortals find angels frightening, but maybe it is because angels know mortals to be in a near constant state of fear. And the Bible, while recognizing these very real, very earthly fears, counsels against allowing them to gain spiritual control over our lives. God and Jesus recognize that worldly fear can predominate, causing paralysis and undermining our capacity to live well, to live deeply, expansively, authentically. Now, I am a fan of the Harry Potter books and enamored of the class sessions on Bogarts. A Bogart is a shape-shifting non-being that takes the form of whatever its observers fear the most. So if you are terrified of spiders, as is who? Ron Weasley. The Bogart takes the form of the largest, most hideous spider you can imagine, and it is terrifying. If you're terrified by the thought of your loved one experiencing a violent death, as is Mrs. Weasley, the Bogart takes the form of your loved one as a bloody corpse. And one of the strengths of the Harry Potter books is how these young adventurers, these wizards and muggles are forced to name, to reveal to their colleagues, their classmates, and their teachers, and to face down their fears. My guess is most of us don't name our fears very often, don't reveal this part of our lives to others if we can avoid it. We stuff our fears down, trying to keep the fear genie in the bottle with the lid on tight. And I wonder if you are thinking now about what it is that you most fear. Our God knows us to be a fearful lot, a shrinking, quivering people in the face of those terrors of the night by which most of us anyway are at least sometimes stalked. While we don't have access to the magic of Harry Potter, we are, most of us, without wands and spells, but we have something better yet. Mary sings of this something better in her song, the Magnificat. Mary, who is, in all probability, a young teenager at the time that she learns she is pregnant, she gathers her courage. She faces her fears and she sings out to God, placing herself in God's hands. She reminds us in her song of the source of her courage. God's mercy, she sings, God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. The Bible, Christian faith, teaches us, aches for us to trade one kind of fear for another, to trade the kinds of fears I have listed, which are very real to us, with another kind of fear, fear of God. And the idea, the practice of fearing God has gone quite out of favor. It is rather archaic sounding these days. It's time to bring it back. It is a vital theological concept. There was a time when committed Christians were known as God-fearing. To be called a God-fearer was a badge of honor. When's the last time anyone called you a God-fearer? But let me explain this. To be God-fearing does not mean fearing God the way you fear a terrible diagnosis or the death of a loved one. Nor is the fear of getting into trouble. It is no servile fear. Rather, it is a joyful awareness of God's grandeur. It is to feel profound reverence in the awesome presence of God, to feel awe, trembling awe, reverential awe in the face of that which, unlike us, is high and holy, mighty and mysterious. It is to know Rudolf Otto's mysterium tremendum, the awful mystery that repels. In the presence of the dreadful, fearful, and overwhelming aspect of the numinous. At the same time, it is to know, viscerally know, in your bones and in your body, the mysterium fascinosum, the mystery that attracts, by which humans are irresistibly drawn to the glory and the beauty and the splendor of God. Another way of putting it, it is to be filled with a sovereign respect for God, a respect that makes us dread, above all things, offending God. For example, do you dread offending God by failing to take up the cause of the suffering poor? You should. Do you, for example, dread offending God by failing to forgive your enemy? You should. Do you, for example, dread offending God by possessing a too hard heart? You should. How many of you are familiar with C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? If you haven't read it, you might consider it. In the book, Aslan, the great lion, is the representation of Christ, and here is a brief passage from the book. Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Mrs. Beaver replies to Susan, that you will, dearie, and make no mistake, if there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. Then he isn't safe? Asks Lucy. Safe, roars Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king. He's good, I tell you. The one who fears God knows God is not safe, but knows too God is good. Hear me, church. God is not safe. God is wild, untamed, raw, mighty, and resplendent. God is awesome, overwhelming, breathtaking. It is well to fear and revere God as one fears and reveres an awesome teacher, a parent or grandparent, or a fierce ocean storm. The biblical book of Proverbs has something to say about this, and I'll bet you know this proverb. Finish it for me. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God, the beginning of wisdom. Okay. But how so? In the sense that in the face and presence of God's immortality, we know our own mortality. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. How so? In the face of God's wisdom, we are humbled by the breadth and depth of our ignorance. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. How? In the presence of God's perfection, our own sinfulness floods and shames us. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. How? In the presence of the grand sweep of God's divine forgiveness flung out to all, our petty slights, our little jealousies, the grudges we nurse, these appear trifling and paltry and make us small. Fear of God. It's the kind of fear wrought in stained glass to my left, high above the parable windows. There are seven angels surrounding the Holy Spirit, the dove, and the seven angels represent the virtues, wisdom, pity, strength, counsel, understanding, cunning, and at 11 o'clock up there, fear. The fear up there, high and lifted up, is not fear of disease or death, it is fear of God, the awesome God. It is the kind of fear you might feel in the presence of the great prophets in the back up there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel, prophets who evoke the wild, untamed grandeur of God. The prophets who remind us of God's inescapable scrutiny. The prophets who are as dreadful as they are fascinating, whose righteousness is uncompromising, raw, and fearsome. May I suggest, in this Advent season, in your pilgrimage, that you take to heart Mary's great song, that you, like that teenaged girl of long ago, undertake to trade one kind of fear, earthly fear, for another. Fear of God, reverence for God, for the God who cared enough to send to earth God's own Son. And here is why. Forgiveness was born on Christmas Day. Death defeated on Easter morn. Surely these should quell our fears and free us to live expansively, deeply, authentically. So, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much, and may you fear God enough, revere God enough, that you need fear nothing else at all.